We wrapped up the discussion on Friday with regards Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. As part of our tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf, we discussed the last verse there. وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَانْدُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ Verse 84, we rained upon them a rain of stones. See then what the fate of the sinners was. We rained upon them a rain of stones. See then what the fate of the sinners was. And we explained that these were not ordinary stones. These were stones that were baked from clay. And they rained incessantly, and each bore the names of the person whom it was to strike. And commentators mention that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam lifted up the entire piece of land on which the town was situated, and after raising it to a certain height, he threw it down headlong. And we explained that there is this opinion of some scholars that because he lifted up the entire town, took it as high up as the heavens, turned it around and threw it down upside down, it hit the ground with such force that it went down. And that's why, that's how the Dead Sea was created. And if you look at the Dead Sea, it's at a very low point, you know, above ground level. And the Dead Sea has no inlet, no outlet. It indicates that, you know, it was not, it did not come into existence in a normal way. And the water is so salty that, you know, nobody, nothing can exist there. That's why it's known as the Dead Sea. There's no fish. There's no life whatsoever there. People like to swim in the Dead Sea because there's no waves. So it's like swimming in a big pool. And there are many resorts and hotels and all of that alongside the Dead Sea. But this the ulama have discouraged because it's a place of punishment. And many ulama say that it could possibly be that beneath the Dead Sea you would find the ruins of the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Because that is the area where they were destroyed. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam himself, his grave, it is reported that it is in Palestine. Remember, that was all one area in those days. The borders came afterwards. So I've been to this place where they say it's the grave of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, near the Palestinian-Jordanian border. How authentic that is, Allahu A'lam, I'm not sure. You know, these things are very difficult, you know, to authenticate. Anyway, after now concluding the story of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala moves on to the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. This is now verse 85. We're on to the last page of the 8th juz of the Quran Kareem. So we've discussed Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, and Lut alayhi salam, 5 anbiya. We now move on to the 6th Nabi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. To Madian we sent their brother Shu'aib. Once again, he was from amongst them. Like Nuh alayhi salam was from that very nation. Allah sent a Nabi from that very nation. Hud alayhi salatu wasalam was from the nation of Ad. Salih alayhi salam was from the nation of Thamud. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam came to his people. What was the message? Ya qawmi abudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Again, the same message. O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. Now, just to give you some background to Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, in another verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about sending Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam to the people of Aika. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ in the 14th juz in Surah Al-Hijr. Now, if the people of Madian and Aika are one and the same, you know, there's two different names for the same group of people, then there's no problem. However, if they are two separate nations, it would mean that he was sent to both of them. And both of them had the same problems that we will see being outlined in this verse in terms of what was the hallmark, if we can put it that way, of his nation. When it came to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, it was homosexuality. When it came to the Thamud and to the Ad, it was, and the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it was idol worship. Now, this nation, the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, the Madian, again, it's in the Jordan area, the whole Greater Sham area. They'll tell you that till today there's a place called Madian in Jordan, and that Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam's grave, if that indeed is his grave, is just outside Amman. I've been there, alhamdulillah. What you do is you go by bus, and you got to climb a high mountain, and you get there, and there's a masjid built alongside it, and they mention that this is the grave of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And en route to Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam's grave, you stop, and there's also a place where they claim that that is the grave of Yusha' bin Nun alayhi salatu wasalam. So, you know, that's why that whole Sham area is known as the lands of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. From Ibrahim alayhi salam to Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, coming just outside, you know, Al-Quds, Jerusalem, and passing away. Harun alayhi salam also, it's claimed, is buried on the top of the mountain there in Jordan, as you're going towards Petra, you'll see it. Then they refer to it as Mount Nebo. And then Shu'aib alayhi salam, Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wasalam, Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam in Syria, which was all part of that whole Sham region. Nonetheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in this verse 85 that we sent Shu'aib alayhi salam to the people of Madian. He said to them, Ya qawmi abudullaha ma lakum min ilayin ghayru, O my people, worship Allah. Qad ja'atkum bayyinatum min rabbikum. The evidence from your sustainer has reached you. فَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Give therefore full measure and weight, and do not deprive people of their things, and do not cause corruption in the land after its reformation. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This is best for you if you are indeed believers. So in summary, the scholars write that there was two problems with the nation of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. They would cheat in weight and measure. They would do unna danna. They would shortchange people. And secondly, they would occupy the roads and try and disrupt people and deviate people and you know, detour people, those people who were interested in following the message of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. Those were the two main problems with them. Shu'aib alayhi salam was a very eloquent person. And that's why he's known as Khatib al-Anbiya, the orator of the prophets. He was known for his eloquence. And he tried to reason with his people, as his predecessor prophets tried to reason with their people as well. So tomorrow we will take up the discussion further, the verses after this, in terms of what was the response of the people of Madian to the calling of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam.